I made you a bit of a commitment last week, and that commitment was that this week we would talk about eternity. And we're really going to focus in on the nice side of eternity, which of course is what we call heaven. But I have to say, as we begin, even focusing on the good side of eternity, sometimes the very idea of eternity kind of scares me. It's just so vast, it's so long, it's just so beyond what we can grasp. God says it's good, but how do we make any sense of that? But I can tell you one thing that for me that makes a difference for me, that takes away this fear when it comes, is I think of moments I've had of really deep prayer. And they're not things that happen all the time, but there are moments of that when I feel myself really deeply connected to God. And I think of the beauty and the peace and the fullness that comes in those moments. And I think if that is a hint of eternity, then eternity is not so scary. Even if it is beyond our ability to understand, we can get a sense of the fullness and the beauty of union with God, and I can trust in that. But we also had a question last week that I said we'd talk about, and that question is based on what Jesus says. How Jesus said last week in the gospel that marriage does not last into eternity. Or to quote him, he said this, "In heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage." And I know that often raises the question, well, what about my marriage? I don't want this to be gone in heaven. That doesn't make sense. We'll get to that. Another question, too, that often comes up when you think about heaven is, what about pets that we love who've died? Are they in heaven? When I was young, we had a guinea pig whose name was Cookie Face. My brother named him. That was it. He was brown, I guess. Is Cookie Face in heaven? What do we think about that? Well, the first thing to do when we talk about heaven is we want to be really honest about what we do know and what we don't know. And we don't actually know quite a lot. We don't know even really what eternity is like. And what I mean by that is eternity is not time that goes on and on and on and on and on. It's something other than that. Eternity, we would say, is somehow beyond time, apart from time. What is that like? We don't know. Let's not pretend that we do. So there's quite a lot here that is still going to stay mysterious. But there are two things that we do know that can help us make sense of this mystery. The first thing we know is that heaven is the fulfillment of all desire. And the second thing we know is that heaven is new creation. If we start to understand these things, we at least get a sense of what we mean when we talk about heaven. So first of all, heaven is the fulfillment of all desire. Now, if we think of just our own lives as we go through this world, we all have desires that we try to satisfy. In fact, that is a lot of life if we think about it. I feel a desire for something. How do I fulfill it? Should I fulfill it? It's a big part of life. If I'm hungry, that's the desire for food. I want to eat something. And I'm sure we all know, even this simple desire of hunger, there are better and worse ways to satisfy that desire, better or worse ways to respond to it. We're also in the realm of emotion. There's a lot of desire in there too, isn't there? We have certain negative emotions that often when they come, our desire is to stop feeling them. If I'm feeling jealousy or angry or scared or sometimes sadness, often there comes a point where I don't want to feel these things anymore. That is my desire to make this bad feeling stop. There are good ways to stop feeling badly. Think of prayer, connecting with others, exercise. There are also not such good ways to stop these bad feelings. Think of turning to alcohol, giving it to violence, pornography. There are good and bad ways to meet this desire to stop these more negative feelings. If I'm feeling lonely, that's a desire for friendship. Feeling ignored, a desire to be noticed, recognized, valued. A lot of desires that call for fulfillment. But what about more positive emotions? Think of the feeling of joy. When you have a real experience of joy, is that the kind of thing that you want to end? You think, I kind of like this joy to end. I'm kind of done with it. Probably not. Or what about love? Do we ever want love to end? Well, sometimes maybe. If the person that we feel love for doesn't love us back, we might wish it wasn't there. But times when love is reciprocated, when we love someone, they love us back, is that a thing that we ever want to end? Probably not. So when we're talking of things like joy, love, deep prayer, in these moments, we're touching on eternity. We're getting there towards the fulfillment of desire. But really what's important in this idea is really this, that every desire that we have, God is the answer. Every desire that we have, ultimately, God satisfies, God fulfills. This means, for example, the kid who just wants one more ride on the swing, that kid is in fact longing for God. Or the lonely college student swiping through Tinder is in fact looking for God. The mountain climber and the wine connoisseur and the person walking into the pot shop, all of them truly longing for God. Every desire we have points that way, fulfilled in Him. So this life, this world, full of desires, never quite satisfied. But that's what heaven is. The joy, the love, resting in the fullness of desire. There's another phrase we use in theology to talk about this, and that phrase is the beatific vision. And what we mean by that, the beatific vision, means seeing God as He is. It's part, we believe, of what heaven will be, seeing God as He is. But it's not just, you know, physical seeing with our eyes, but encountering God as He truly is, knowing God as He truly is, sharing in God as He truly is. And we know, of course, God is love, perfect goodness, fulfillment of every desire. That's one principle. We know that about heaven. But you might be thinking, I've not yet come even close to answering our questions. What about marriage? What about cookie face? What do we say about that? Well, the answer there is that heaven is new creation. And this really is how the Bible talks about eternity. It describes it as a new heaven and a new earth. And one thing this tells us is when we talk about heaven, we're not talking about just souls kind of floating around free of their bodies. And this is a way that we can often misunderstand it. And there are real people who will tell you that our pets are not in heaven because they don't have immortal souls. People do, animals don't, they can't be there. People say that, they are wrong. And the reason they are wrong is heaven is not just souls floating around free of bodies, but heaven, we know, is new creation. And one thing that this means is that nothing that is good here on earth will be lacking in heaven. That everything good will be there, purified, healed, made perfect. Let's say, for example, our bodies. Our bodies are good, they're made by God, we use them to love and serve and do good to others. Well, then that means there will be some kind of eternal body in heaven, purified, healed, made perfect. Those pets that we love were good. So there is in some way some kind of eternal cookie face up there in heaven, I guess so, purified, healed, made perfect. What exactly is that like? We don't know. But I know that God's vision for what that is better than mine, and I can trust in that. And this also helps us to understand this marriage question. And it is true, as Jesus says, that the marriage covenant, the marriage commitment, well, that actually is something for this life. Think even of the vows that you made when you were married, until death do us part. And if a spouse dies, we are free to marry again. That's how we understand it. But that does not mean that the love of marriage, the intimacy that you have, the goodness of it, that doesn't mean that all that will be lost in heaven. And why is that? Because nothing good on earth will be lacking in heaven. And everything good will be there, purified, healed, made perfect. What exactly will that be like? I don't know. But we trust that God's vision for that is better than ours. Or we heard too in our first reading a really great image of heaven. It went like this. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. So all desire truly fulfilled, everything good, purified, healed, made perfect, union with God who is love, goodness, and peace. That is what we mean when we talk about heaven.